Everybody, David Hebner here. Hey, welcome to Underground. We've become unplugged. We are uncensored. We are unbanned. We are unleashed to tell the truth. I can breathe. How does it feel? Breathe. Billy Hollowell, my guest here, been writing about and reporting on demons, demonic activity in Hollywood and a lot of other places. Billy, you have experienced, through as a journalist, real-life cases of demonic possession and oppression. Can you share at least one of those instances with us, the real-life true story of what you've seen?
Yeah, you know, there are a number of cases that really stood out to me and that stuck with me, but there's one, this woman, Amy, out in Arkansas, and it's really an incredible story for a number of reasons, but Amy was a nurse, and she was a completely healthy churchgoer. And so this is interesting because she was somebody who went to church. Now, whether or not she was saved or not is another question, but she was going to church, married, family, again, working in a hospital as a nurse. And one day, a burn victim came into the hospital, and it was a suspected methamphetamine explosion, which was an interesting detail in the story for a lot of reasons. But she was taking care of this patient as a nurse, again, in the hospital, and something suddenly didn't feel right. She had never experienced any mental health issues. She had never gone through any depression, nothing like that. But suddenly she just felt a little bit off, couldn't finish her shift. She goes home, assuming that she's just getting sick, something's off. And what's remarkable is she goes out. She was a runner. And this detail is important too. She was somebody who ran in marathons, right? So very physically fit. She tries to go out for a run. She's weaving all over the road. And within 8 days from the time that she started not feeling well, within 8 days, she was institutionalized, right, in a mental institution. So she devolved so much in these 8 days, lost her faculties, was acting completely insane. And I tell her story in Playing with Fire, but what really is sort of heartbreaking about this story is that for 8 months during this time, she's completely lost her mind. She's lost her job. She's lost, you know, obviously her friends and loved ones are trying to figure out what in the world is going on. They're taking her to the Mayo Clinic. They're taking her everywhere trying to get answers, and they're not able to get any answers. And all of this sort of culminates in this sudden obsession that she has to end her life. She had never been suicidal again, never had the mental health issues. But all she can think about is, how do I kill myself? I'm a nurse. I know if I do this, you know, she's like kind of wargaming this suicide in her mind. And so one day she's sitting in the windowsill of her house. And I want you to picture, you know, you're sitting in a windowsill, the window's open behind you, and you're facing inside your house. And she thinks to herself, it's about 2.5 stories up, if I just drop myself out, not jump, if I just drop myself backwards out of this window, I'll hit the ground below and it's cement and I will die. And that'll be it. And so Amy drops herself out of this window, 2.5 stories, lands on the concrete and doesn't die. She breaks all of her ribs. She breaks her back. She's in horrific condition, but she doesn't die. And what's so remarkable about this story is that a woman who she had never met was visiting her church for a prayer service, because as this was going on, Amy's church, they're praying for her, right? And they're holding this prayer vigil. And this woman has a strong prompting that she needs to go and perform a deliverance, that she's never met her. She needs to go to the hospital. So she ends up getting into the hospital and is immediately greeted by what she says was an entity inside of Amy. And she performs a deliverance, and I'm truncating the details here. And after they filter Amy off of all of her medications, she never again has any other manifestation like that, never again has any other sort of suicidal inclination, and returns to normal, right? And now is the strongest Christian she's ever been in her life. She's certainly saved now, right? This experience that she went through, now she's in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. That fall that she took out of that window has left her wheelchair bound. And she is sharing her story. She's one of the people who, and I know for us talking about this, it doesn't feel strange to talk about it, but there were so many people I encountered, and Amy was not one of them, who were afraid to tell their story because of what people were going to say and how they were going to react. So anyway, that one stuck with
me. Yeah, Billy, there's a lot of people out there with these kind of stories that are afraid to come forth. But what you're saying is this nurse, Amy, as far as you know, was a legit gal. I mean, she didn't dabble in witchcraft. She went to church. Whether she was a Christian, who knows, but she went to church. Are you saying that someone that came into the hospital could have had an evil entity? This evil entity left this person and went inside of Amy, or at least around Amy. Is this what you're telling me?
So that's the interesting part of this story, because of course, for me as a journalist and as a Christian, the first thought I have is, well, what was going on that opened you up, Amy, to this? Right. And that is something what makes her story unique, and I know it probably is a challenge to some, is that she can't pinpoint that. You know, we talked about Ouija boards. She said, well, when I was a kid, I did it once. You know, we talked about everything, and there was no clear indicator, but what stood out in the story was the fact that this person had survived this, potentially, you know, survived this explosion. Again, methamphetamine lab was what it was believed to be. So the idea, now, that gets tricky, right? What was open in Amy's life or heart that would have allowed that sort of thing?
It could have been, Billy. She could have been abused, sexually abused, and she didn't say anything about it. You know, sexual abuse, I think you'll agree, that opens up a huge door, you know, but I've got more questions for you. So I'm going to kind of do a Johnny Thunder tour here, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
That is a very interesting though story. And I have as a journalist myself, I have a lot of questions for you.
Yeah, but
I will get into it. The Ouija board. And I want to come back and talk about it, but I want you to tell the audience, and most of them know exactly what a Ouija board is. And when we come back to you, I want to talk about an instance that you had as a journalist or in person on the Ouija board. What is a Ouija board?
Yeah, the Ouija board is, you know, if you were to ask, I think, a Gen Zer or a millennial, they would say, oh, it's a fun game that you play at sleepovers, you know, that we played as kids, where you put your hand on this little planchette. It's this little, you know, symbol, and it moves around the letters and spells words. And, you know, it's been treated as though it's this silly little game. But what the Ouija board essentially is, it was a tool in the 1800s that was created, and it was very quickly marketed and sold. But it was created by a medium. It was created by a person who believed she was a psychic, along with a team of people, as a tool to try to communicate with the dead. Now, they believed, those who had created this, and even today, that many of the people who use it believe that this is a device that enables them to reach across the barrier to speak to their deceased loved ones. For Christians, we know that when you look at scripture, there aren't a whole lot of examples in scripture of people dying and sort of haunting people, right? And so there's a whole bunch of theology that can be debated and discussed there. But what we do know is that demons have an impact over people and want to convince people that they are perhaps their deceased loved ones, for instance. And so there's a lot there. But this device is, again, believed to allow you to communicate with your dead loved ones, which, again, I don't believe that you're communicating with your dead loved ones. But
okay, all right. On that note, we do have a couple of hands that are raised. I'll take some comments, questions, answers. We're going to be talking to Pastor Spalding and Ray Hunt here in just a bit. So if you don't mind, keep your questions a little bit on the shorter side so we can get through to everything. Let's see. I think, Sunshine, you raised your hand first. You there?
I'm here, but I raised my hand about fifth. Call somebody else, okay?
Okay, let's see. We had Alicia raise her hand. Alicia, there?
I was just wanting to say, like, when you guys were talking about having in the first hour about them being able to put a box inside your head to control your thoughts, they're actually trying to pass a federal law in Congress. They've been trying to pass it for 3 years now, Cures 2.0. It's also got the vaccine registration, national registry rooted in it. I've been trying to warn people for years about it and no one will listen, but basically they're trying to make these devices that you can put inside your brain to control mental illness, but they actually control you.
Very good point. What was that again, Alicia? That was 3.0?
CARES 2.0, it's a addition to the 21st Century CARES Act.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, you were breaking up. That's 20...
I'll type it in the chat.
Okay, all right. She was breaking up, I couldn't hear her. Okay, so Alicia's talking about something that goes inside of you for your mental health. And see, that's another thing. That's like the kill switch. They do that. They say for drunks, they can control the car. Well, yeah, right. This is for mental health. They're going to make people a little bit healthier mentally. Sunshine, before we move on, you did raise your hand. Are you ready to ask that question?
Yeah, I was actually ready to speak on something when you guys were talking about somebody, devil spirits being able to hear your thoughts, and they can't, not according to God's word. And the only reason I wanted to bring that up is because when you pray to God in your private prayer life, is when you silent prayer to God, devils can't hear what you're saying to God. They can't.
Okay.
So there's nowhere in the word that I know about that. And that's why speaking in tongues, when people learn how to do that, which is perfect prayer and praise to God, when you learn how to do that in your silent private prayer life, all kinds of things can happen. The devils don't have a clue. It supersedes the natural realm and goes into the spiritual realm, and the devils can't hear it.
Okay.
And
so
I thought that was important enough to report on. And the thing about Ouija boards, the last thing I'm going to say is once is enough. It only takes once.
Yeah, I know you had a
once is enough.
Yeah, you had a encounter with that, Sunshine. I remember that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, bad one. And if I could ask real quick, if you guys could remember to pray for my sister Rebecca, because she has. I realize that sometimes there are diseases out there that are man-made, but there are devil spirits as well. One of them is Alzheimer's. And she's being attacked by that right now. Her name is Rebecca. Please pray for her. Thank you.
We will. Thank you, Sunshine. We're she need to put Rebecca on our prayer list. We're going to pray for her. Okay, so I know that we have some more hands raised. Before we do that, I want to go to Pastor Spaulding, and then I'll open back up for question and answers. Pastor Mike, I want to touch on something Sunshine said, and I know a lot of... depending on what walk of life you're walking, what road you're walking down, will depend a lot on what you have to say about this. But you had mentioned earlier that demons and thought process, okay? Someone thinks, a demon knows. Sunshine just mentioned that demons, she said demons can't read your mind. They don't know your thoughts. That's one. I want to touch on that. The number two is on the mark of the beast. I'm going to ask you that when a person gets that insertion and they have that choice to either worship God, not worship God, you know what? Let's first take, can demons read your thoughts? And then the other question is a little complicated.
Okay. Yeah. So I believe that when people open themselves up to demons, to demonic or demonization, there's a lot of ways that people refer to that influence, and sometimes beyond oppression to possession.
Yeah.
That not only can the demon inhabit your thoughts and guide your thoughts, but speak through that person. And we know this in deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
Demons speak directly through people. And so when you're in the process of delivering people, you need to remember to speak to the demon. You're not actually speaking to the person.
Yeah.
You're speaking to the demon.
Yeah.
So there's that. And I would caution people to say, against saying that they can't know your thoughts. They certainly implant thoughts in your mind. And we're told to apprehend those thoughts and to, in fact, take every thought captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it gets a little, it gets a little dangerous to say that he can't when the evidence suggests that he can. I'm not saying that Satan's omniscient, because he isn't.
Yeah,
that's
he's
not.
Not
what I'm arguing for.
Right.
But I'm saying that we should give credit where credit's due, as the saying goes, and understand that there's a little bit more to demonization than what we might understand from the traditions we've been brought up in.
Particularly if you have that entity inside of you, I would imagine too, you know, that's a scenario in which if you've given yourself over to something, that the access would, it would seem, would be a little more fused at that point.
Yes, that's a good point.
I agree
too.
With that, Billy. Yeah.
Yeah. And on this Mark of the Beast series you did on the channel, how does that fit into what we're talking about, Pastor? In other words, you're, the way you approach Mark of the Beast, which was a little unique, how does that concept that you have, biblically based, tie into the mark going into us? Is that a demonic event? Is it demons? Is it man-made? I know that demons occupy men, but when that happens, is it a demonic possession experience? Talking about the mark of the beast.
Yeah, well, I think that those that are advocating for this, pushing it, and have designed it for evil intentions, I think that's their hope. And I think that's what they think they're going to be able to do. And certainly the demonic spirits behind this whole effort believe that that's something they're going to be able to pull off. Now, whether they're viewing that within the context of Revelation 13 and the Mark of the Beast, I can't speak to that. But I do know that nothing, here's what I believe the scripture teaches consistently, David. Nothing that someone else does to another person is going to separate them from the love of God and the opportunity that he offers and affords them to receive salvation and eternal life. Not an injection, not brainwashing, not MK Ultra. Nothing can, if God wants to save somebody, there is nothing that can keep that person from being saved that man can do to them, is my point.
Amen. And that's what I like about your teaching on the mark. You guys have to go listen to that. Thank you, Pastor, for that. I appreciate
it. Oh, you're welcome, David.
Yeah. Before we bring on Julianne and a few other people that raised their hand, I want to bring Ray. Is Ray in the room out there? Ray, you with me? Ray Hunt?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I see you. There you are. Ray, you had something put in your body that we talked about on the show earlier.
Yes.
What was that thing they put in there? Was it a piece of metal that they put inside there?
Yes. So I'm not sure how many of you guys on have ever had dental work done, but this was a metal rod that they had placed in my mouth. I had had an accident where I had fallen down and I'd broken my tooth in half. So to save the tooth, they had put a metal rod. And my body did not like that. It rejected it and it caused an infection, and the infection went to the roof of my mouth and I had major bone loss. So they had to remove that. And then they put, they actually put bone back into my mouth and reconstructed the top of my mouth and then did these great teeth, or else I would have lost all of my teeth. That's how bad this was for me.
Wow.
So my body personally does not handle metal foreign objects at all.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the mark of the beast, and you as a Christian, if you read Revelation, you'll know that there will be at some point something on your hand, on your forehead. Mm-hmm. Plus you're in TV series and you're trying to put the insertion in me.
Right.
Ray, and I haven't asked you this question before, but I'm going to, then I'm going to direct this to Julianne.
Okay.
Do you believe that, first of all, do you believe that they're going to actually insert something into your body? Do you think that's a possibility for the mark?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, I know they're already putting things in people's bodies now, currently, like in countries in different parts of the world
right
now. So, you know, I mean, anything, unfortunately, is a possibility.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my point. Julianne, I know you may have wanted to go a different direction with this, but I have a question for you because you've been through HELL. Ray, Julianne actually woke up in a morgue naked. They thought she was dead for about 10 hours.
Okay? Oh, open a half.
Billy, her story's crazy. It's a crazy, you got to put her in your next book. It's too crazy. But Julianne, from what Ray says, that this thing, her body rejected this particular thing, do you believe that God could be in that? In other words, our body is the holy temple, that when Satan tries to put something in us, and I'm talking spiritually now, do you think that our body can reject it spiritually and say, hey, I don't want this? Does our body, God give us the intelligence enough to do that?
I think so, yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Excellent. I also want to say that my entire lower back, my lumbar section is metal. I broke it severely in 2015, and it's bolted and wired and everything through into my pelvis for stability. I am in chronic pain because of it. But I have no alternative. The Lord didn't decide to heal me when I begged him to.
Yeah.
I'm still keeping that open for him though.
Okay.
I do believe people can come in. I've seen bits of metal come out of people, like in a pimple, and they pop it out. People who've been in car accidents, like glass, it'll just come out from their skin. I have seen people when I've been in a deliverance session, and they've had, for example, a metal plate in their arm, I've actually seen it move. And they went to the doctor the next day and the doctor cut it and just removed it. It was just below the skin, with the whole bone being healed. I'm really, really hoping that that will happen to me. But so, yeah, I've seen that. And the body does reject things. And like I said, I'm still praying that's going to happen for me.
Well, we're praying for you that metal gets rejected out of your body. Julianne, I want to ask Billy, you did a lot of stories on people. Was there any stories of people having things in their body like that, any deliverances? Or what say you on this foreign object stuff going into our body?
Yeah, that was not something that came up, you know, in my research for this book, but it's an interesting topic, especially obviously surrounding the conversation on the Mark of the Beast and in the end times and looking at what's going on around the world right now. People seem very willing to put these chips in, right? I mean, especially with COVID, and these COVID stories where it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know why you'd need to be scanned and have this put. Yeah, it seems like people are being primed for this. And I think, obviously, the technology we're all using, there's a lot of benefit to it, but I think it does help sort of prime people in that direction. But no, to answer your direct question, it wasn't something that I really dealt with. And so it's something, as I look to the next project, having this conversation, that I'd like to.
I believe I'm going to put this in Last Evangelist, because when Ray told me the story, I believe a light clicked on. I believe when the day comes that they start putting things in us, I think because our body is the holy temple, I think supernaturally you'll see things pop out of our body. It will not it will not accept it. God will not tolerate it. And I'm going to tell you, they put a piece of metal in me. I'm praying that sucker pops out and shoots back to the person that stuck it in me. You know what I'm saying? Because we may not have a choice. You know, people think, well, you either take it or don't. Well, hey, what happens if they hold you down? You know, like they did during the Holocaust. What are you going to do then? So I believe supernaturally it will come out. Julianne, I cut you off. I'm going to give you another 30 seconds and we're going to have to go. But did you have one other thing you wanted to say?
I did. On that story about the nurse, when you're talking, I do really, really, really want to make people aware that devils will jump from the dead bodies into whoever's standing there, preferably a family member, because then they're less likely to be picked up for other members to be aware of it. But if you're working in a hospice or a palliative care section, the devils have to go somewhere. I mean, Yeshua cast the devils to the pigs, and look what happened to the pigs.
I'd encourage people too, that the full story, including the woman who delivered her, is on the Playing with Fire podcast, which you can find. It's one of the last episodes. We did a series in October So you can hear that. It's free, you know, listen to that. And you can hear from all of them kind of talking about it, because there's some other interesting elements of that story as well.
I just thought of something. In all of these hospitals where people are dying left and right, where do all these demons go?
Into the nearest freest person.
Imagine what these nurses go through and these doctors. Oh my goodness. So here it is, folks. You're in a hospital. You're working night shifts, day shifts, whatever shifts. You've been doing it for 30 years. You've been around at least maybe 50 to 100,000 people that have died in the course of your career. All of those demons floating out, you know they had to be coming in against people. The only thing saving you is the fact you're a Christian, but at least then you'll be demon oppressed, right? Oh my goodness, we got to do a show on this, of where do demons go when people die in hospitals? It's so right.
Into
other people, okay. I'm going to close this out with Pastor Mike. We don't have any more hand raising. Pastor, when people die in the hospital, the demons have to go somewhere. Is this right that they just can jump into the next person?
Well, they're always looking for a body to inhabit. That's the thing about demons. They're spirit. They're entities without bodies, and so they find their mission and fulfillment in human flesh. Well, if it has to be something other than human, they will, but human flesh. So yes, they will.
Well, and people are worried about not wearing masks in a hospital. They should be more worried about people dying and a demon jumping inside of them. We need a spiritual mask. Billy, thank you so much. God bless you for being with us.
Thank you.
We're going to have to do this again, man. We just scraped the tip of the iceberg. Ray, thank you so much for sharing that story. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for all you do. And all you guys out there, Sunshine, Julianne, Alicia, everybody, I love you guys. Chat room, I'll leave chat room open tonight. If you could please end it at 9 o'clock, I would really appreciate that. I will leave chat room open. I love you guys. And hey, tell somebody about the gathering next week, okay? Let's bring more people. I feel like God wants, we need to be watchmen and warriors and reach out to people and bring them in. So let's bring a friend next week, okay? Love you guys. See you next week.
Night.
Okay, good night.